long time ago, I read a short newspaper article, a little clipping, that said there's a particle that came from the sun, but was found inside huge rocks. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but I was hooked. That particle turned out to be called neutrinos, a particle that my daughter, herself a particle physicist, dubs as her mom's favorite particle. Then I found out that each and every one of us, and I'll have to add that my guess is all living things, that's just me saying, but at least each and every one of us is human beings, that we have billions of neutrinos inside us. So even as you're drinking your tea or your coffee, you're listening to this show right now, they're neutrinos. You got them, okay? Does that mean that we're made in part of stardust? The neutrino was first theorized in 1930 by the team of Italian physicist Enrico Fermi. It was then said to have no mass whatsoever, but does it? What do we know about neutrinos and mass? Also, have any neutrinos ever been seen or caught interacting with each other or anything? They are complex, and they are from what is now known three different types of neutrinos. And wait, there's more. They oscillate. But what does that mean? Are they changing form? And what is superposition? And what does that have to do with neutrinos? Furthermore, at one time, neutrinos were thought to be faster than the speed of light. But has that theory been debunked? Was Einstein right or wrong? How much of the universe is likely made up of neutrinos? And what is the relevance to dark matter and dark energy of neutrinos? Now, to kick us off there, because clearly I'm not the only one fascinated by neutrinos. There are millions of people who are, and indeed the Corrigan brothers and Pete Creighton actually did the neutrino song. Let's hear a little of that song right now.
Turlo, 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 turlino, is light now slower than a neutrino? We can't believe it, we weren't prepared. Does E still equal MC squared? Now that the neutrino has taken flight and is seemingly faster than the speed of light. Turlo, 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 turlino, is light now slower than a neutrino? Was old Albert wrong? Oh, can it be that fabulous theory of relativity is being debunked for the first time? But he still might be right, old Albert Einstein. Turaloo, 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 turalino, is light now slower than a neutrino? Now physics forever may not be the same, and boffins are gonna be driven insane. If light's not the fastest, what can this mean, oh? And is something faster than the neutrino? Turaloo, turaloo, turaloo.
All right, that's the neutrino song. And on that note, I'd like to welcome back to Sojourner Truth Professor David Kaiser, professor of the history of science at MIT's program in science, technology, and society, and also professor of physics in MIT's Department of Physics. He completed an AB in physics at Dartmouth College, a PhD in physics and the history of science at Harvard University. His physics research focuses on early universe cosmology, working at the interface of particle physics and gravitation. He has also helped to design novel experiments to test the foundations of quantum theory. He's the author of several books, including How Hippies Say Physics, Science, Counterculture, and Quantum Revival, and a new book, American Physics and the Cold War Bubble, is on its way. David Kaiser, it's been way too long. Welcome back.
Well, Margaret, thanks so much. It's a great pleasure to be back on the show.
Okay. What did you think of the neutrino song?
I loved it. I did not know that song. And, you know, it will add it to the collection. You may know there's also, in the spirit of celebrating this noble particle in song and verse, There's a well-known lengthy poem by the great American poet John Updike, a kind of ode to the neutrino as well. So this particle has inspired you and your daughter, my friend and colleague, and many, many people. It's a marvelous topic, and I look forward to talking about it with you.
Just for the layperson, understanding what exactly is a neutrino, you know what I mean? Like, is it, has anybody seen it? Has anybody seen it interacting? And where does it come from?
Sure. Those are great, great questions. And so people have seen them in the way that physicists try to see elementary particles. We can't quite see them with our eyes. But people have built really impressive, sometimes enormous machines to try to catch these little wispy, these shy little particles and catch them interacting with other more common forms of matter. So it was a quarter century, it took 25 years between the time when theoretical physicists dreamed up this possibility for this kind of particle in the early 1930s, as you mentioned. It took a quarter century until the first real experimental evidence that these things really exist. They're in our world and not just in our thoughts. And so they're really hard to pin down. Partly that's because, as their name suggests, they are electrically neutral. They have no electric charge. That's the neutral part of the name neutrino. And that means that they don't interact in the ways that most matter interacts with each other. So it's very hard for physicists to catch them in the act, to see them jostling or interacting with other forms of matter. And yet our theories tell us that there should be a billion neutrinos for every single atom in the entire universe. They're much more plentiful than the ordinary stuff that makes up you and me and the planet and everything else. We're awash in them, just as you said. Tens of billions of them pass through every square centimeter of our bodies every second. Just
wow.
Look at the size of your thumbnail. That's about the size. Every area that size, about the size of your thumbnail, tens of billions of these critters pass through, and we don't even notice every second. So they are very hard to detect, and yet teams of physicists have been able to measure them, to really catch them in the act, since the mid-1950s, and increasingly with increasing sophistication, especially in the last 20 years or so.
Wow, that is truly amazing. So you're saying that neutrinos, they are found inside us. What about other living things? I mean, are you going to dash my, fantasy about them being found in dense rocks?
They're found everywhere. In fact, they're not just found in us. They pass through us as if we're not even there. We're like a little, pane of glass to them. They pass right through. So they're in us for the briefest flash of a moment, and then more pile up and pass through us again. And they pass through the rocks and the whole planet. In fact, they pass through the entire Earth, and most of them won't even sort of pause. Even the Earth itself is practically invisible to these particles. That's how weakly they interact with ordinary matter. So they stream through practically everything. So in the experiment that I got to think about with some colleagues most recently, it's an experiment based at Fermilab, a huge national laboratory outside Chicago. To measure these things, they actually had to use 5-ton slabs of steel and hundreds of them, so an enormous detector buried in an old mine underground, just to try to reliably catch a handful of these things every so often, because most neutrinos will blow through those 5-ton slabs of steel as if they're not even there. That's how ubiquitous they are, but also how weakly they interact with ordinary matter.
Right. And that's amazing. And you have written that they are fundamental to the construction of the universe. Clearly, they're very abundant. They move very, very quickly, as you say. So now we're told that there are, at least from what's known, 3 different types of neutrinos and that they oscillate. What does this oscillation mean? Are they changing form? And can you explain a superposition? I mean, I know that's totally unfair, but just for the layperson, because there's a connection with this oscillation of these neutrinos, I think, and something called superposition.
There is. You're exactly right. So I assume we have 7 hours for this discussion. Is that right, Margaret?
Absolutely.
Good. Oh, that's
no,
great.
But we want to do a full 1 hour with you very soon. So I hope let's try and organize that.
Well, that would be terrific. I would love it. That would be great.
Uh-huh.
But in the meantime, because we don't have a full hour right now, you're right. You're absolutely right. Neutrinos have been confirmed to exist in three different varieties. They're very similar, but not exactly the same as each other. And we know that because they interact slightly differently with different types of ordinary matter. So type 1 will scatter off one type of well-known particle, but not a different type. Type 2 will scatter off a distinct form of matter. So we really can characterize these three different types of neutrino and show they're really not the same as each other. They also have a very slight difference in mass between them. They weigh slightly different amounts, what type 1 versus type 2 versus type 3. So they're like closely related cousins, but they're not the same. And now the weird thing comes in, just as you say, that a neutrino that might start out as one type of neutrino, say type 1, can actually shift and be measured as type 2 somewhere down the line, or type 2 can become type 1 or type 3. They can oscillate. And that was predicted or hypothesized back in the 1950s, but it took a long, long time, again, many decades, to get really clear, compelling experimental evidence that that's what happens. In fact, almost 2 years ago, the leaders of some of those very big experimental teams won the Nobel Prize. It was a Nobel Prize-worthy achievement just to show that these hypothetical oscillations really do occur in nature. So it's a really fascinating effect. And as you say, it goes right to the heart of our understanding of quantum theory. It has to do with this term you've used called superposition. And that's something that's very hard to get our heads around. Many, many physicists try, not just physicists. It's tricky. But there's a central notion in quantum theory that suggests that a property of some object really only becomes manifest, only takes form when we measure it. And in between measurements, the object might not have a definite value for that property. Here's how I like to think about that. It's as if I didn't have a definite value of my weight until I stepped on a scale. Wouldn't that be nice? You could forget about your weight in between measurements. And so the idea is that these neutrinos don't really have to choose whether they're really going to be type 1 or really going to be type 2 or type 3 until there's a definite measurement performed. Then they always have to give a definite answer. Hey, buddy, I'm type 1. Or you caught me, I'm type 3. Right now you caught me being type 3 neutrino. But in between those measurements, they could exist in this kind of quantum dance of uncertainty, and they can really oscillate between those options, so we can then calculate how likely should it be to find these neutrinos popping up as type 2 versus type 1 in various sorts of experiments.
Right. They may be the original shapeshifters, right?
They are absolutely shapeshifters. Exactly right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, we are going to do a full in-depth thing with you, Professor Kaiser, but quickly, what about this thing? How fast are they? Are they faster than the speed of light? Or is that really not true?
It's really not true. It was almost exactly 6 years ago, there was this very surprising announcement from a group in Italy, and they thought they'd found evidence that the neutrinos traveled ever so slightly faster than light, and that would have thrown all our books out the window. I mean, just everything. We start from scratch. It turns out that was due to an experimental error, a totally understandable, you know, tricky, tricky measurement. And once they straightened that out, they said, oh, okay, hang on, keep your textbooks. The speed of light is our fastest speed limit. And neutrinos really do travel very close to, but ever so slightly slower than, the speed of light. They travel practically at the speed of light. They do not travel faster than it. That was a little bit of a hiccup about 6 years ago, but the group did find the cause of that error.
Well, that happens. For people who want to hear more or read more from David Kaiser about this, there's a fascinating article called Operation Neutrino, How the Neutrino Went from Ghost Particle to Vital Physics Tool, A Tale of Bombs, Espionage, and Subtle Flavors. And that is, which publication can that article be found?
It's in a magazine called Aeon.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's an online magazine, A-E-O-N.
Wonderful. Well, Professor Dr. David Kaiser, we'll have you back. Thank you so very much for joining us. And I want to give a heads up to my daughter Chanda for making me aware of this article. She knows how I feel about neutrinos. Thank you so very much.
Well, it's a great pleasure, Margaret. Thank you. And thanks again to Chanda.